Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to John's Gospel. This morning, we're going to talk about a disciple that we don't usually spend a lot of time on. And yet, I believe we have some important lessons to learn from his life. His name is Thomas. You remember Thomas. When you hear of Thomas, what word immediately comes to mind?
Doubting.
Exactly. Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas. How would you like for that to be your moniker for thousands of years? Okay? I mean, that's how you're remembered.
Doubting Thomas. Oh, yes, Doubting Thomas. Yes, well, Doubting Thomas.
Do we have any Thomases in here? Okay. Guys, would you like for doubting to be part of the name? No fun at all. All right? But we need to look at Thomas. Beginning in chapter 11, Jesus has received word that Lazarus is very ill, and obviously there's a request that he come. In John 11, now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you were going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy an inspired word. How would you like to be remembered as the one who was morbidly depressed? Who was such a pessimist? I mean, here's a guy who, God bless him, he didn't say, "We can't go or we'll be killed." All the disciples were afraid. It wasn't like just some of them were afraid. They were all trying to talk Jesus out of going to Judea. And the fact that Jesus had delayed going for 2 days had caused them to think that, you know, well, at least Jesus has the good sense not to go back there. Even though Lazarus is sick, Jesus has the good sense not to go. And they knew it made sense because Jesus had said, "This sickness will not end in death." And as you know, if you know this story, the sickness did not end in death. Lazarus' death was not the end, but it was part of the journey. How would you like to have been Lazarus? That'd be tough, wouldn't it? Some of you have been in experiences like that, wondering, where's Jesus? Where is God in this? When am I going to see God show up and meet my need? Lazarus died while waiting. I've had friends die while waiting. But Jesus demonstrated in Lazarus' life and speaks to the rest of us words of truth when he says, death isn't the end. Death isn't the end. But the disciples haven't got that perspective yet. They haven't read this book, okay? They are in the midst of the experience, and so they are wondering, what in the world is going on? Well, good, we're not going to go to Judea because Lazarus isn't going to die. Okay, now wait a minute. Lazarus is dead, and we're going to Judea where they tried to kill you last time you were there? I don't like the way this is shaping up, okay? This is not the way that I would script things. We thought Lazarus is going to get better, and we're not going to have to go, and we're all going to be safe, and things are going to calm down. And instead, you're telling us we're going, and that Lazarus is dead? I thought you said it wasn't going to end in death. What is going on? This does not look good. And in the midst of that thought process, Thomas speaks up. And this is where he's introduced, really, in John's gospel. This is the first time we have a word from Thomas in John's gospel. And what he says is, let us go also, that we may die with him. I love Thomas. I really do. I mean, he wasn't saying everything's going to be fine. But what he was saying is, if Jesus is going, I'm going with him. If Jesus is going to die, I'm ready to die too. It's not what I'd choose. It's not what I was hoping for. It's not what I envisioned. But I'm sticking with Jesus. I'm going to follow him wherever he goes and whatever the cost. I like Thomas. He's not exactly a sunny optimist. But he is a person who has the courage to put his life on the line out of loyalty to Jesus. I'll take courage over optimism any day. I'm not against being optimistic. But folks, Thomas was not expecting everything to go well. He was just determined that however things went, he was going to be with Jesus. I want to be like Thomas in that regard. I don't want to be negative. I don't want to be down in the dumps. I want to be determined, however, that no matter what comes, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what the cost, I want to be with Jesus. I want to follow him. And that is a wonderful example from Thomas. The second place we see him is in chapter 14, verse 5. John chapter 14, verse 5. Jesus is about to die, and he's preparing his disciples. He says in chapter 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Again, may God add his blessing to this reading from his word. I'm really glad that Thomas spoke up. I'm really glad that Thomas said, sorry, but I don't get it. Because I kind of like this verse 6, don't you? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said that in response to an honest objection from one of his disciples. Thomas didn't say, you don't know what you're talking about. Thomas said, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay? Thomas spoke for the others, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus had said, you know the way. But then Jesus explains, I am the way. I am the way. You know me, and I'm the way. So they did not know what they knew. They didn't understand who Jesus is. And part of Jesus' disclosure of himself and eternal life to his disciples came in response to an honest exchange from a disciple who had the courage not to pretend that,
oh yeah, we know, we understand, we got it.
Have you ever pretended that you knew what somebody was talking about? Have you ever done that? Somebody comes up and they start talking to you about something and they mention a person or an event or a book they read or something that's just happened in world events or whatever, and you're like, oh yeah. Because it just doesn't seem like a convenient time to say, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. But you see, Thomas had the courage and the honesty to respond to what Jesus was saying by saying, I'm sorry, but you've lost me. I don't get it. I don't understand. Can you help me here? A little more explanation, please. And when Thomas did that, when he said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus didn't say to him, you idiot. You turkey. Jesus answered his question. Jesus gave him one of the most priceless promises in all of Scripture. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That came in response to an honest question. How can we know the way? Don't be afraid to be honest with God. Don't be afraid to bring God your questions. Don't be afraid to say, I don't understand this. I don't get it. Read the book of Psalms. It is filled not only with praises, but also with laments, and also with questions. Those who walked closely with God got to ask questions. Now, they didn't always like the answers, but they were able to ask questions. And God doesn't always answer the way we want or when we want, but God still accepts our questions and our questioning. Thomas exemplifies courage back in John 11 when he says he's willing to follow Jesus even to death. And then in chapter 14, he demonstrates courage when he's willing to ask Jesus what others were wondering as well. I appreciate Thomas, don't you? I like this guy. I don't think doubting Thomas is the best description of him. But we're about to look at why he's called that. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Shalom, peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Shalom, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Shalom, peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. May God add his blessing to this reading from his word. Jesus didn't reject Thomas because of Thomas's doubts. Jesus answered his doubts because he knew that Thomas wasn't using doubt as a means of protecting himself from the truth. Thomas's doubts were because he wanted to be sure of the truth. There's a world of difference between a person who throws up objections, question after question, not because they want answers, but because they don't want answers. If you don't want to believe, you can always find some excuse not to, or at least not right now. You can always say, "Well, I'm just not ready." But let me tell you something. Ready or not, one day you're going to stand before God. Every single one of us will stand before God one day. And there is only one way that you and I can be reconciled to him. And that is through Jesus Christ. We already read it in John 14. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Whoever is in Christ is safe. Whoever is not in Christ will be destroyed. So the question is, are you in Christ? Are you trusting in him? Have you received new life in Christ? Jesus is more than able to address your doubts if you want to know the truth. If you want to know whether this is true or not, Jesus said, anybody who wants to know, who wants to do the will of God, God will make it clear to them. But if you don't want to know, you can keep yourself in the darkness until you die and go to hell. But you need to understand that's what's going to happen to you. The only hope is Jesus Christ. So, Thomas, when Jesus met him, was not given scorn. He was not given rebuke. He was given evidence. Jesus said, here, touch the wounds. Don't be afraid to check it out. You're not sure? Investigate. You've got questions? Ask them. But be ready for answers. Because if you want to know whether or not the gospel's true, God will make it clear. If you want to do the will of God, God will make it clear. But if you're waiting for maybe another kind of evidence, you just want to feel better about things, you just don't want to take the risk of being wrong, you'd rather be wrong. Okay? I'm telling you right now, Thomas's doubts were met with evidence because Thomas wanted to know the truth. And if you want to know the truth, God will make it plain. So, when Thomas encountered the risen Lord Jesus, he didn't say, I'm still not sure. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. He worshiped Jesus. He worshiped him. Now, there are those who try and say that they're Christians, but they don't believe that Jesus is God. They're not Christians. There are whole denominations that are trying to suggest that Jesus is divine in the sense that you and I are divine. Well, those people are going to hell because they don't know Jesus. Because if you know Jesus, you know that he is who he claimed to be. And the charge against him was blasphemy because he claimed to be God. He said before Abraham was, I am. Taking the name of God, applying it to himself, and claiming that he had always been. He is the Word through whom all things were made and by whom all things are held together. If you don't know that about Jesus, you don't know Jesus. In church history, we are told that Thomas went on to be a missionary to places as far away as India. I don't know if Thomas actually made it to India because the Bible doesn't tell us. But I know that somebody did and that you and I are charged, like Thomas, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're supposed to be involved in making disciples all around the globe. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you won't just worship him with your words. You'll worship him with obedience. You'll do what God tells you to do. And folks, in the process, it's okay to anticipate that it might cost us our lives. And it's okay to say, excuse me, I don't understand this. As long as you're ready for your doubts to be met with God's truth. And the result will be worship and obedience.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.